الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in this blessed month of Muharram. And when the moon was sighted for Muharram, then those who were here for the program would recall, we made a dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make each month when the moon was sighted and at the beginning of a new year. Allahumma adkhilhu bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wa ridwani min ar-rahman wa jiwari min ash-shaytan, which simply means, oh Allah, make this year, make this month, enter upon us with peace, with a strong iman, with protection, with submission to you, O Allah, and with your pleasure and a protection from shaitan. The month of Muharram, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is known as Shahrullah, the month of Allah. Now we know every month belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed this month to him. And after the fasting of Ramadan, there is no other greater and auspicious month in which a person keeps roza and fast than the month of Muharram. In particular, the 10th of Muharram, which we know as Ashura, and for us it will be on Sunday, inshallah. So, a person who keeps fast on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, then all his previous years minor sins are forgiven. So it's a new year. Previous year, the entire year, whatever minor sins we committed, we can't even count and enumerate those minor sins that we committed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his kindness, just on this one fast a person keeps, and all those minor sins are obliterated. However, ulama mentioned that it is preferable to join a fast to it. In other words, you keep on the 9th and 10th, or you keep on the 10th and 11th. And the reason for this is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just prior to his demise, he found that it coincided that this day he saw that the Yahudu also fasting. That is the day of Ashura on the 10th of Muharram. And he asked them the reason for why they were fasting. So they explain it is this day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun, and Allah drowned, and Allah destroyed Fir'aun. So Fir'aun was drowned. So Allah saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam from the clutches of Fir'aun. And therefore they were keeping this roza out of shukr for this, to show the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, he said, "Nahnu haqqu bi Musa minkum." We are more closer to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you are. We have more right over Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you have. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La'in baqitu ila qabirin," if I am alive the next year, "la'asum manna tasi'a," I will most definitely keep roza on the 9th as well. But we find that Rasul left the world and he did not live the next year. However, from this hadith, ulama explained that to make mukhalafat of the Yahud, therefore ulama say that we keep two fasts, 9th and 10th. The 10th is the most important one. Or you can keep 10th and the 11th. So either you keep on Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. There are many other virtues of Muharram, etc. However, I would like to focus today, inshallah, on the aspect of the Islamic calendar, and we have spoken about this previously, but there are very important principles we learn, many important lessons we can derive from this entire Hijrah episode in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, depends, time permitting, how much we can cover. So I'm just going to give a brief rundown and see what beautiful lessons we learn. When Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala became Amir al-Mu'mineen, so after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was the Amir, and then Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he would write letters to the governors in the various parts where the Muslims had prevailed, and he had his governors stationed there. So he writes to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, giving him some type of commandment. And then a letter comes after that, perhaps another command. So it was a bit confusing, not knowing which one is expected of him. One could be abrogating the other, do this, don't do this. Therefore, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala writes to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, we need to write a date on the letter, so I can understand exactly which one is your command, and perhaps you have cancelled and abrogated a command that you have given. So when the letter reaches me, I can see by the date which one has come first, which one has come second. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala immediately summoned the Sahaba, and he made mashura with them. Now we understand this. When there is an important event in the life of a Muslim, then it is imperative, whatever the case may be, that we sit down together and we have a mutual consultation. And we put all our thoughts together, our minds together. And of course, looking at whatever catastrophe has come, whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is, and together in a very harmonious manner, with unity and love, and we come to a resolution, a decision. And this is now what the ummah then follows. So even at home also, if you've got some issue, you sit around with your wife, your children, and you make mashura. And this was a salient feature of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amru mashura bainhum. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was commanded, washawirhum fil amr, and consult them in your matters. Umar radiallahu ta'ala hears different views. Of course, a very important and brilliant opinion was that of keeping the Islamic calendar beginning from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said, no, the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said the day he became a Nabi when he was granted Nubuwat. And many others like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu opted for the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Sahaba began the Hijrah. And why particular Hijrah? And that is why what we're going to explain today. Remember the Muslims, the Sahaba were persecuted in Makkah. They were tortured. And we cannot go into the details, you know, how Sayyidina Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was brutally murdered and killed to such an extent that her leg was tied to one camel and the other to the neck of another camel, and both the camels were made to run in opposite direction, ripping her apart. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, various Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, they were persecuted. There was agony that they suffered, pain. They lived a life of persecution, torture. They were living a life of fear all the time. On many occasions they come to Rasulullah sallam, Ala tastansiru lana, Ala tad'u lana. Why don't you make dua to Allah to give us victory? And Nabi Kareem sallam instructed them, encouraged them to be patient. Until the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now they could move away from Makkah and go to Medina. Nabi Kareem was shown in a dream also that he is going to a land, he's migrating to a land where there were a lot of palm trees, date trees. And Rasulullah is now given his instruction and command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Sahaba could proceed and they should make the migration. But Rasulullah himself, not as yet. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, always eager. Ya Rasul, can I please go make the hijrah? Can I proceed? Nabi Kareem said, not yet. Amongst the Sahaba, the very first person was Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. Command is given now to leave Makkah and go to Medina. So immediately he wants to be the first person to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hijrat marked a clear distinction between haqq, truth and falsehood, batil. So now he proceeds with his wife and child. And as they emerge, suddenly we find that his in-laws come. They were disbelievers. And they said, where are you going to? So he said, no, I'm going to Medina. That time it is known as Yathrib. He said, no, you want to go, you carry on. But this is our daughter. And they pulled her away to their side. Who is the wife of Abu Salama? Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Little baby they have. Just three of them. They are proceeding. When this happens, she's gone one side. She doesn't want to go with the family. She wants to be with the husband. She wants to make this hijrat. His family comes and they pull this child away. They're also not believers. They say, this child belongs to us. So now they are separated. Abu Salama is on the camel. Ummu Salama is with her family. The child is with his family. What should he do? Proceed or give in to their demands and remain in Makkah. But he'll be with his family. He thinks, and he has to make the decision in a split second. My respected brothers and elders, this is where the lives of Sahaba are so important and so valuable to us. And when we look and understand properly, what does he say? He says, before me is Allah. And I would make this migration for the sake of my Allah. I could remain behind. I'll be happy to have my wife and my child. But I'm going to make this separation solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another principle, that at times you have to make the sacrifice in your life, that on those things and those material things or those possessions, whatever it may be, which you love and you covet and you hold on to, you cling, you have to let go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is painful. But this is for the sake of Allah and you'll be rewarded tremendously. I just explained to you that Abu Salama proceeds. He makes the hijrah. He's the first person to migrate to Medina Munawwara. His wife comes every day at a place called Abtah. She sits there at the place of separation with tears rolling down her cheeks, hoping that perhaps my husband may return. Perhaps he may return. Until one of the family members, also was not a Muslim at the time, he feels pity. And then they allow her to proceed. Her child is given back to her. And this is after a long time. And when she is proceeding all alone, a person by the name of Uthman bin Talha, at that time, he was not a believer. He sees, where are you going? Well, I'm going to Yathrib. I am migrating. Of course, the disbelievers could not stomach the Sahaba leaving like that. People like Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan were angry. But he feels pity for her. It is mentioned in the books of Seerah, he actually began to cry. And he said, not possible for a young woman for you to proceed all alone. And he escorts her. And she says the manner in which he led her with so much of haya and modesty. He never even looked towards her. He went in front, wherever they had to rest or settle down, he'd go front until the camel kneels. Like this, he brought her right before Quba, and he says, your husband is there, you may proceed. The same Uthman bin Talha, he had the key of the Kaaba, they were the custodians of the Kaaba. It's a lengthy story until Fatih Makkah takes place, and Rasul gives him back the key of the Kaaba. And he says, you will keep the key, your family will keep this key, Khalidan Talidan, forever and ever. Right till today, the same Shayba family have the key of the Kaaba. Until a zalim will take it away and snatch it away from you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with iman. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, when he passed on later on in after making hijrah, Rasulullah performs his janaza salah. On that particular occasion, we all know we have 4 takbirs in janaza salah. Rasulullah made 9 takbirs. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you made a mistake, you forgot. He said, I made no mistake, I didn't forget. If I had to make 1,000 takbirs today for Abu Salama, that won't be sufficient. This was the caliber of Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabiya Kareem some taught them the dua on his demise, taught his wife, they'd make dua, Allah gives a ni'matul badal, as we say, a better replacement. She thought, Abu Salama, how could I ever get a replacement? How could somebody else become my husband? Better than Abu Salama? Impossible. She made the dua nevertheless, instruction of Rasulullah SAW. Allah then commanded Rasulullah SAW to marry Ummu Salama. She then becomes our mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Azwad Mutahharat. So, Abu Salama was the first person. Then we have Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu was a foreigner in Makkah. And he makes his hijrah. And as he's going, Abu Sufyan says, oh, ho, ho, where are you proceeding to? Atikana sa'lukan, you came to us as a poor person. You became very rich, huh? Because of us. Now you've got properties. You've got slave girls. You cannot go like this. He had his arrows ready. And then they come to an agreement. He says, listen, you will not fight, but my possessions, you can take it away in Makkah. He gives up all those things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, when Rasul enters Medina and he meets Suhaib, without even discussing anything, Rasulullah sees him. Rabiha bay'uk. Oh Suhaib, your deal that you made was very profitable in the eyes of Allah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, nobody knows about it. Only Jibreel could have informed you. Ma akhbaraka illa Jibreel. Only Jibreel has informed you. Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu and his family, they are leaving. And the same thing happens that Abu Sufyan usurps their properties, their homes. It causes him pain, leaving his belongings, his entire home in Makkah, where he lived all his life. Now everything is just usurped, taken away by Abu Sufyan. Rasulullah then consoles him later on when he complains to Rasulullah SAW. Nabiya Kareem says, aren't you happy that Allah will give you a daran, a house in lieu of this house in the world? Allah will give you a house in Jannah. He says, I'm happy, Ya Rasulullah SAW. Like this, there are so many other incidents of different sahaba. Dhamira bin Is radiallahu ta'ala, blind sahabi. Blind, old, but very wealthy. And he instructs his people to please carry him out of Makkah. And he wants to make the hijrah. He is not well. He only reaches Tan'im. And we all know Tan'im, you go for Umrah. When you're making another Umrah, then we go to Masjid Tan'im, Masjid Aisha. He passed away just there. And regarding him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That person who has emerged from his home, making this migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then his reward is, it lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Came the turn of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. In between there were other sahaba who also left. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he was the only person who went openly. Everybody else secretly left. And he left with a group of 40 people. And he goes and he makes tawaf of the Kaaba. He addresses the enemy. He says, if any person wants his wife to be a widow and his children to become orphans, come and meet me behind this hill. Nobody dared to fight Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And he makes the hijrah. Finally, Rasulullah is instructed now to make the hijrah. And he's instructed to take as his companion on this journey none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He leaves behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And the reason for this, another lesson for us. You see, people who trusted Rasulullah SAW in Makkah, even the disbelievers, Al-Amin As-Sadiq, they hated him. They hated him for preaching Islam. But they would leave by him their trust, the amanah, the possessions, the monies. Look, Afi, they know this man will never be disloyal. So what about those things that belong to others? He left Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and within 3 days, make sure you give back each person his right and whatever belongs to him. This is Islam. Ayatul Munafiqi thalathun, idha haddatha kadaba wa idha wa'ada akhlafa wa idha atumina khana. The signs of a hypocrite are 3. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he speaks lies. When he's entrusted, he breaches the trust. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in his house.
tells him to spend the night there. And he says, do not worry. Nothing will happen to you. No harm will come to you. Allah will protect you. Why? The enemy in Darul Nadwa, they had made this whole plan that they're going to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine knowing enemy are going to come inside and they are going to kill the person who is lying on that bed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is actually sacrificing, putting his life at risk for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem consoled him, and that consolement was sufficient for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Nabi Kareem, during the day, midday, he goes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu reports, she says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to us morning, evening, never at midday. So hot, extremely hot, and Nabi Kareem would come on that day. He says, Abu Bakr, Allah has commanded me to inform you, give you the good glad tidings that you will be my companion on this journey. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sobbed, he began to cry. Sayyidina Aisha says radiallahu anha, I never saw anybody crying out of joy and happiness in that day. Two camels were already prepared by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says, Ya Rasul, the camels are ready. He says, I will not mount the camel until I pay for my camel. Again, it's an important journey in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an ibadah. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chose to pay with his own money rather than just receiving this as a gift. Camels are prepared. Nabi Kareem said, no, at night we will proceed. He emerges from his home and they had one young person from each tribe, the enemy, who surrounded the house that we will break in the morning and we will assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out, no? And he recited the beginning verse of Surah Yasin until فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala actually blinded those young men. They could not see, they could not even hear Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerging from his home. He takes some dust particles, some sand, and he sprinkles over the heads. And he emerges. In the morning, somebody informs him that I saw somebody like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeding. So they go in and they say, yes, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, covered with a green shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, I did not know. He was not speaking lies. At that moment, he did not know where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I have now proceeded on this journey. A very difficult journey. Brothers and you and I, when we go from Makkah to Medina in that taxi with the aircon, the GMC, whatever it is, such luxury and comfort. That too we feel the heat and we're tired by the time we reach Medina. The moment we go there, we want to rest, we want to eat. Besides eating something in the car as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're proceeding. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu at times walking in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes behind him. Sometimes suddenly goes on the right hand side, sometimes left hand side. Nabi Kareem sallallahu says, Abu Bakr, what's the matter? Why are you going like this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes when I'm in front of you, suddenly the thought comes, perhaps they're going to attack you from behind. I'd rather be behind you than let them attack me and you can be protected. Then the thought comes, maybe they'll come in front, so I go in front. Maybe on the right hand side, maybe on the left hand side. Nabi Kareem consoles him, do not worry. According to some historians, there is an area, an entire part of this journey where Rasulullah SAW is now carried, physically carried on the shoulders of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. They come to the cave of Thawr. We have read this and we have heard this from childhood days. And Allah Ta'ala protects them. Brothers, last night I mentioned the dhikr majlis, that we have to ponder over the greatness of Allah. Who is Allah? Do we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My life, your life, everything is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Diseases come from Allah. Shifa comes from Allah. Wealth, poverty from Allah. Happiness, grief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in His control. The rising of the sun, setting of the sun, the appearance of the moon, the stars, the skies, every single particle only operates and functions with the permission and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person in this world can ever do anything, in this world against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot create anything making him more superior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is ghalib.
Nothing can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our iman, our belief, and we need to keep on refreshing, renewing our iman. Jaddidu imanakum bila ilaha illallah. That there is no deity worthy of worship. No deity worthy of worship. There is no power. There is no superpower. There is nothing that can defeat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is ghalib. This is our yaqeen, our iman. And when they come there, they are protected. How Allah makes the intizam? Allah could have put strong angels guarding the entrance. Allah could have put some animals, some lions, or some tigers. Oh, like how Ashab-e-Kahf had a dog at the entrance. Allah chose to show this ummah. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the skies and earth are the armies of Allah. Allah uses just a pigeon's nest, a spider's web. أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ. The weakest of all homes is the home of a spider. Brother, will anybody put a spider's web in front of his house as an alarm system? No. Allah is showing us that Allah is guiding Rasulullah SAW. I'm showing us the entire ummah. Allah did not require any, Allah did not even require the spider even. But for you and I to understand, and when the mushrikeen came there, they saw a spider's web. Impossible for somebody to have gone through. There's pigeons' eggs here. Impossible somebody who could have gone through. And as they come right there, in search, in pursuit of Rasulullah SAW, 100 camels, whoever finds Rasulullah SAW alive, they'll get 100 camels. And as they come there, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, now he's extremely worried. He begins to cry. Rasulullah says, what's happening? He says, Ya Rasul, in qutil tu ana, if I am killed, it's just one life. Ya Rasul, if you are killed, whole ummah is gone. He says, la takhaf. La tahzan, la tahzan. Inna Allah ma'ana. Do not grieve, do not worry. Inna Allah ma'ana. May Allah give me that tawakkul. May Allah give me that yaqeen. It is easy to say it, but may Allah give us the reality that verily Allah is with us. Say it again and again, inshallah. Inna Allah ma'ana. Only Allah is with us. Most certainly Allah is with us. We are believers. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah puts us through some test, we will go through the test. Allah will assist us. Allah will make us victorious. There is a day of qiyamah. There's a day we stand before Allah. There is an occasion when we be put into jannat, inshallah. When Allah will remove that curtain, that veil, you and I will see Allah. Allah is too kind. Allah loves us. Suraqa bin Malik, after they remove, they stay in the cave for 3 days. And when they come out, you know, we talk about sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, when he was hiding from the enemy, he remained in a person's house, a friend's house, for 3 days. And they were in pursuit of him. They were going to kill him, the governor of the time. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, no, I have to leave. Why? He says, my Nabi SAW, sunnah, he sought refuge in the cave of Thur only for 3 days. This is also part of sunnah. Will our mind ever go to this type of sunnah? This is what you call kamil ittiba of sunnat of Rasulullah SAW. Nonetheless, Suraqa bin Malik, it's a long story how he is informed that there's Muhammad SAW and his companion. So he goes in pursuit of him. But as he's coming, Sayyidina Abu Bakr sees him again. Ya Rasul, what are we going to do now? Now we are trapped, we are caught, we are killed. Nabi Kareem SAW said, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'it. Allah, you suffice us from him. As Rasulullah just reads this dua, the legs of this animal, of the horse of Suraqa bin Malik begins to sink, and he's also sinking. And immediately he shouts, please do not curse me, supplicate to your Lord to save me from this. And Nabi Akram makes dua for him, he's saved, and again he does it. 2-3 times it happens, until finally he realizes, it's impossible for me to hurt Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes an agreement. He says, I will spare your life. And I promise you that I will never show anybody where you are. Anybody who is coming in this side, I will turn him away. Nabi Kareem tells him, Suraqa, how will it be one day, when you will be wearing the bangles of Caesar, the king of Kisra, the king of Persia, Kisra bin Hormuz. Suraqa bin Malik says, so me, a shepherd of Banu Mudlij tribe, I'm a Bedouin. What are you talking about, Persia? We are in Makkah. And I'm going to wear the bangles. Came the day when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he conquered Persia and the bangles of Kisra brought, and he calls, where is Suraqa? Suraqa! Yeah, he makes him wear the bangles. And he said, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah alladhi. Praise be to Allah who snatched away from Kisra bin Hurmuz and gave it to Suraqa from the Bani Mudlij tribe. My respected brothers and elders, then Nabiya Kareem then proceeds. And then he comes to Quba. And the first thing they build the Masjid of Quba. La Masjidun Ussisa ala Taqwa. Its foundations were built on Taqwa. May Allah make all our Masajid be built on Taqwa. Keep on making dua. Noor must come out from our Masajid. Iman must come out of our Masajid. Our Masajid must become lively again. And then after staying there, then he goes, he performs Jummah at the locality of Banu Salim. And then he comes into Medina. It's another long incident how he enters and how the Sahaba welcome him. And they are so excited. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, the day Nabi Kareem entered Medina, entire Medina brightened. The day he passed away, entire Medina literally became dark. And he says, Nabi Kareem was mounted on his camel. Sahaba, the Ansar, are very, very anxious, trying to pull the reins of the camel towards their home. They want to host Rasulullah. They want him to be their guest. Nabi Kareem said, Da'uha, Da'uha, leave it alone. Fa'innaha ma'mura. This camel has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes, it halts at a land, an empty land. Then he wakes up again. Nabi Kareem does not dismount, goes front, stops at the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, kneels down, wakes up, comes back to the original place opposite the land which is vacant. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu realizes, Nabi Kareem says now, I will be the mehman, the guest of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. How lucky he was. 7 months Rasulullah lived there. And this place, this vacant land, belonged to two orphans, Sahal and Suhail. My respected brothers and sisters, the very first amal. The very first amal. Look at the books of history, you will see. Awwalu amalin. The very first amal Rasulullah did after making hijrat. Long journey. Tedious. It is a very scary journey. And what they went through. Even though Asmar brought some food and Abdullah bin Abu Bakr brought some milk or whatever they had, some little bit of food. But such a long time and all that pain and struggle and fatigue, exhaustion. Any one of us would worry about rest. We see things afterwards. And the first thing we want, where am I going to stay? Where's my house? I want to build my house. The first amal was the building of Masjidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, who does plot belong to? Let me buy it. He said, no, it belongs to two orphans. And their guardian says, Ya Rasulullah, it is free for you. Nabi Akram refused. He said, no, it belongs to this yatim. And he pays for this plot of land. There were some qabrs of mushrikeen that were removed. And then they built the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, Rasulullah is actually carrying those tree trunks. And those rocks and the stones. Abu Bakr Siddiq joins him. Umar ibn Khattab joins him. And the Sahaba join him. Ammar bin Yasir especially. And all of them join. And they build al-Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders. This is now, just in a nutshell, the hijrah. What is the important lesson? Our attachment to the house of Allah. Our attachment to the house of Allah. It can never be overemphasized. Believe me. Time has come in our life when we have to attach ourselves to the house of Allah. Remember those days when we could not come into the house of Allah, what happened to us. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of you tawfiq. May Allah accept our coming here. May Allah make it be such a coming without any takleef whatsoever from any person. Inna Allah ma'ana. May Allah grant all those people who, for whatever reason, they are unable or not coming to the masjid, with love, with muhabbat, with kindness, bring them to the masjid, invite them to the masjid. This is our job. Without the masjid, you are taking away the base of the Muslim, the base of our iman. What are we doing in the masjid? Are we watching some soccer, some cricket? Are we gossiping? We're making sajda before Allah. We're crying, supplicating before Allah. When we meet, when we come in the masjid, what are we doing? Assalamu alaikum. We're shaking hands. We're making mu'anaqa. We are showing ukhuwa. Ukhuwa, brotherhood. We are standing together. Whether it is black, white, whatever color, we are showing that we are united as the Muslims. We are making dua for one another. We are learning bayans, waaz, nasiha, zikr. Take this out of our life. We're left with nothing. We're left with nothing, my respected brothers and elders. May Allah open all our masajid of the entire world. Inshallah. Inshallah, Allah will restore that peace and everything will become easy. Our job is to come to the masjid attach ourselves to the masjid, that person amongst those who will be given the shade on the day of Qiyamah, under that shade will there be no shade but the shade of Allah. رَجُلْ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. His heart is attached to the Muslim, to the masjid. Not that he waits to come in and get out. No, he will sit in the masjid. This is where Allah's rahmat comes. The most beloved places in the entire city and town or country are the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdulillah.